the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, you've heard a lot in the news that COVID has affected travel. How will travel be different after COVID-19? Will people be getting on airplanes? Will they be taking cruises? How do people feel, and what kind of vacations and what kind of travel are we likely to see going forward? Joining me on the program is Professor Lori Pennington Gray. She's professor and researcher at the University of Florida, and she's also director of Tourism Crisis Management Initiative. Professor, why don't you tell us a little bit about your organization, how it originated? We were just talking briefly as we went on the air. I thought it was a result of COVID, but actually you've been in existence for a lot longer period of time.
That's right. We've been around since 2007, actually, and much of the impetus for the initiative was because of hurricanes, and also because we were seeing increases in disasters globally. And there wasn't an initiative or a research center at an academic institution that was solely interested in working on research in this area and helping the industry to make more informed decisions, which would be data-driven.
You have sent us a slide deck, which we're going to include with this interview. Explain the first slide, Perceptions of Travel Risk Survey. And you've broken it down into what we call waves, beginning in January 26th and 27th, all the way up to the present period.
Correct. As soon as we heard about COVID-19, this was something that we knew that the industry was going to have to watch. And it was even before it was on the shores of the United States. It was still isolated to China. But we knew with the amount of Chinese travelers that come to the U.S. that there could potentially be some concern for the domestic travel market. And so we started collecting data related to COVID-19 then. One of the main areas that we're interested in is anxiety, particularly domestic travel anxiety, although we also look at international travel anxiety. And we were looking at whether concerns about travel in the U.S. because of COVID-19 would influence the U.S. travel market's decisions to travel, and what kinds of changes to their travel behavior might arise because of COVID-19. And so we've been collecting this data weekly now for more than 12 weeks.
So as you look at this, one of the things you've done is a survey, and one of the questions you asked, if you were asked to avoid travel from the following, how likely would you be? 54% from the president, roughly around 63% from a state governor or the State Department, and almost similar to the consular general. And then it goes up to 66 with Dr. Fauci, almost 69% from a healthcare professional. So healthcare professional, so I assume that would be, Lori, if you were seeing your doctor and your doctor said because of age or some kind of comorbidity, I would advise you not to travel.
Correct. I think it's not only your primary physician, but also those that are in the medical practices and those that we're seeing even in the news that are doing interviews that are suggesting certain practices to stay safe. So we have seen that shift. And we've also seen that between Dr. Fauci and medical professionals, that those two have flip-flopped in the first and second place as far as levels of trust in the messaging that's being sent out over time.
Have you found that has changed? Because I know from the beginning in January, even Dr. Fauci and even some of the healthcare professionals have changed their views. A good example is masks. They weren't important only if you had it, and then now everybody should wear one. So various paths along the way, the views from the medical professions and even the professionals has changed. So is that reflected in this survey?
It isn't reflected as far as level of trust. I think the level of trust with Dr. Fauci and with the medical profession has remained in the top two slots. I think definitely as the message or what we learn has changed, people are paying attention to that. But I think there's still this level of trust that we are continuing to learn more about the virus, and that as protocols might change, that we need to pay attention to scientists to help to guide our behavior, to help to keep us safe.
Now, let's talk about something else you cover in this survey, travel anxiety due to COVID. And what is that level of anxiety right now? It looks like it's sort of gone up a little bit domestically and then a little bit also internationally recently.
Right. We did start to see it come down just in phase one of many of the states opening. But this last week, we started to see it rise again. And I think that's in response to the number of cases that we're seeing also being reflected. And so there's a little anxiety about interpreting whether that's, you know, a rise in cases because, you know, more people are out and about, maybe not practicing social distancing, or whether that's more testing. And I think because the questions aren't specific as to why they're anxious about traveling, just are you, that's why that has responded the way it has.
And one of the questions you asked, and that was, as soon as coronavirus is contained, how or how soon do you expect to travel? I'd like to cover that because it was rather interesting, because after the events of 9/11, it took the airline industry almost 6 months to a year to recover. Explain some of the results of your survey.
That's a really great question. And actually, we've been tracking this one since day one, and we have seen pretty similar results that most people will wait 2 to 6 months before they travel after containment. So that's the key point, is once people are feeling comfortable that it's safe to go out and travel, then people will start to make their plans. But we're already starting to see that people are taking day trips in states that are open. They're going out, maybe taking a shorter vacation closer to home, spending the day at the beach. But there are expressed areas of the travel market that the U.S. population has said appear to be safer. And so those are the things that they're engaging in, being in parks or outdoors or at the beach where they can, you know, practice social distancing, be further away from other individuals, et cetera.
You know, it was rather interesting. You have a question, where are you planning to travel first when travel restrictions are lifted? Number one was the beach. Number two was parks. Number three was big cities. Let's talk about something that doesn't look too good. Cruise was like 1%.
Exactly. I think that anything that where people may be in more close quarters, and whether that's in a confined area inside a museum, or even the results are suggesting indoor shopping malls and the cruise line, people are a little more cautious about their behaviors there and what they're going to engage in. And so that's what we're seeing reflected there, that they'd rather be outside and doing things where they may not be in close quarters with other people.
You know, if you take a look at the widest categories, public parks, the beach, your outdoors, what was surprising on your survey is big cities.
That is very surprising. And I think, again, you know, the nuance of that is whether that means, you know, some public park areas and or whether those are the traditional things in big cities that they might be doing, the theater, et cetera. But if we dig a little deeper, some of the recent questions we've asked relate to that. I think it is that, yes, there's still this lure to big cities and all the great things that they have to offer. And so they'll look for opportunities that may keep them safe, or where actually the industry has taken extra precautions to keep them safe, and they're still interested to do that.
You also asked some rather interesting questions, and let's just go over some of these. And the first question is, are you more likely to take a staycation than in the past? And it looks like roughly about half your survey, that seems to be the predominant view at this point.
Exactly. And we saw that after 9/11 as well, where people just felt that they were going to stay home and do things in their own communities rather than venturing out. So I don't think that's anything unexpected. I think that as we start to see that it's safer to venture out and that the industry has taken the precautions that are necessary and that people feel that we have more control over what's happening, then they'll start to move a little further away from home.
Now, here's one. The next question doesn't look good for the airlines. Maybe that's why Warren Buffett sold his airline stocks. And it is likely to take a trip where I won't have to fly than I was prior to COVID-19. And 58% of survey responded in that way.
Right. I think the airlines and the cruise industry, that they're the ones that people are most concerned with. And again, that's because, you know, it's in a confined area. People aren't 100% comfortable being close to other people. There were concerns, I think, about recycled air. And the industry is working really hard on new technologies to be able to respond to that. But as people start to, you know, move about and they start to book their travel plans, and again, we have more control over the virus and more understanding of the virus, then I think that will change. But for now, I think there's this apprehension still.
And then another one, I'll probably look at policies that businesses have created around COVID-19. One also, likely to avoid areas that may be of increased risk. So, you know, what do you do if you're somebody like here in San Diego, SeaWorld, the zoo, or even Disneyland?
Yeah, exactly. And so the industry is working really hard. And some of the things that we've been finding that consumers really are looking for these extra sanitation practices. They're looking to see that there's availability of hand sanitizer regularly, that both employees as well as the guests are wearing face masks, that they have policies that are clearly stated. So they want to know that they're being taken care of. And I think that is consistent with our previous research prior to COVID-19, that it really is about knowing that the industry is there as a hospitality sector and that they are there in a hospitality function as well. And some of that includes safety and security.
You know, here's one of the questions that you have that I find rather interesting, and it is, I'll use the COVID-19 response of travel companies to help me decide whether to book. Because today with all kinds of online programs where you can go in, book your trip, your flight, your hotel room, and save a lot more money, are people more likely to rely on a travel company now?
Oh, that's a good question, because I think there's two responses. One, the research is suggesting that more people will use travel agents to help book because of some of the things that happened at the onset of COVID-19, where there were people being stranded in other countries, not being able to get back home, that they may not have received the money back guarantees that they had spent their money and they weren't able to change their plans, etc. So I think people are aware of that, and that's why they're looking to the industry policies that are clearly stated as to what they're going to be able to do if they book and if there's another, you know, second wave that happens and they need to respond to that quickly. They're aware of what they are looking for and that they might be disrupted, and they want to know what the different companies are doing to help them out in that realm.
You know, you mentioned a number of companies are adapting and doing things to make people feel it safe, because that's one of your questions, is make sure the destination I'm planning to visit has implemented measures to keep me safe.
Mm-hmm.
So what are companies doing? Are they putting, like, I know, for example, in our own office, we're putting an ultraviolet and a ionization filter system into the air conditioning system. So we're filtrating the air that comes into the office.
Right. I think there's so many different practices that we're starting to see in the industry, from shields between guests to spacing tables out to mandating that the employees are wearing masks to also requiring the consumer to wear masks to having stations for sanitation around to clean things, whether that's in some of the gyms are open here locally in Florida as well, to clean more frequently, to have access to wipes. So I think there's a whole host of things. You know, air sanitation is also part of that, and many other investments that the industry is making.
You know, what is interesting, you also asked, what type of accommodation are you most likely to book for your next holiday? At the top is a hotel, so at least that's good news for the hotel industry. Or all suite hotel, maybe instead of separate rooms, you get one big suite for the family. What I found was interesting is boutique hotels. What about places like Airbnb? Did you guys look at that?
Yeah, and I think, you know, more recently, we've also seen that there's been a lot of bookings on Airbnb, and that many of them along coastal areas are sold out, particularly on previous long weekends. And in the state of Florida, they have a large number of bookings that are happening on Airbnb. And my guess is that, you know, it's again about being able to keep the people that you've been social distancing with or those that you know closer. And you don't have to worry as much about more public spaces that you might be running into other individuals. I think the other thing is also that, you know, if the trend is traveling closer and drive travel, then I think people are going to start to bring their own cleaning supplies with them, and that an Airbnb maybe makes sense to be able to clean down, you know, the doors and the other types of touch points with their own products that they put in the backseat of their car.
I want to move on to, not only are people changing their travel plans, where they plan to stay, where they plan to go, how they plan to travel. So maybe this is going to be good news for, you know, gasoline prices. People will be traveling by car. They feel safer. What about, what was surprising is the length of the trip. And it was the majority are saying only 4 to 7 days. So it sounds like just maybe a 3 or 4 day, maybe a weekend getaway around a holiday or something.
Yeah. And I mean, it makes sense that there'll be shorter getaways. But this is also our summer season where people tend to take their longer vacation. But I think that that will be disrupted slightly because of the way things are happening and kind of the unknown. So we might see shorter trips and maybe more frequent rather than larger, longer ones further away from home.
You know, the other thing is, as you take a look at your survey, one of the questions I found rather interesting, please indicate how you feel when you think about venturing out right now. And roughly only about 34% of people feel comfortable about going anywhere.
Yeah, and that's definitely linked to the anxiety index that we're measuring on a weekly basis. There's still this concern and people are cautious about taking a vacation. We are starting to see that change a little bit and people are booking more and they're taking weekend getaways. But in general, I think there's still this concern. And especially as we start to see numbers rise in cases, different locations around the U.S., then people's anxiety will go up again as a result of that.
Yeah. Another interesting question you asked is how comfortable do you feel going to a gym? This is not good news for the gym industry. In fact, two major gyms here locally just filed for bankruptcy, but only 28%. A friend of mine owns a major commercial gym equipment company, and he said their commercial division has fallen off a cliff, but their retail division, as soon as it comes through the door, it goes right out of the truck. They can't keep anything in stock.
Right. So it's in line with that staycation. People are staying at home and doing things closer to home. So if they can purchase things and put them in their house and do it that way, then I think that's what people are thinking they're going to do right now for the time being.
Have you done anything in terms of long-term thinking? I know, for example, we referred earlier, after the events of 9/11, it was almost six months to a year before people were comfortable traveling again. Let's say there isn't a major second wave when the flu season begins at the end of September. Do you expect this to change remarkably from the numbers that you're looking at right now?
I mean, if everything were to stay constant, I think that we'll see similar things. I think where we'll start to see differences in perception are when we have a vaccine and when people feel like they can take personal health choices that can keep themselves by taking a vaccine and maybe helping control the situation a little bit better without starting seeing this fluctuation in numbers that people are seeing regularly now.
The other one, too, is live theater production. I'm just thinking of movie theaters, going to concerts, going to sporting events. How much of that is going to change, too? They're talking about, for example, the football season starting with the players out on the field, nobody in the stands.
Yeah, exactly. I think all of those things, all of those parts of the industry are starting to think of alternate ways of delivering the experiences that they've traditionally used one medium of delivery. So, you know, whether it's a theater and they change how they're delivering it, whether it's online, we've seen some of that, but even looking for open air concerts that may require social distancing at the concert, whether it's stadiums that may be partially filled, you know, and spread out. I think people want to live and people want to continue to do the things that bring them joy. And so the industry is responding to try and find ways to be able to give them those experiences in a very safe way.
You know, as we look at this, and on the bright side, let's assume there isn't a second wave. And let's say the beginning of the next year, they have a vaccine out there or some kind of miracle drug that cures. This seems to me one of those type of events, at least in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like this, where you've got healthy people and the vast majority of the population is quarantined inside. It seems to me, Lori, that this is going to have a little bit more long-lasting effect on people because nobody's, you know, 9/11, it happened in a day. There was news about it. We talked about it, and eventually it faded. And within a year, people were back to getting on airplanes and traveling. This one seems like this is going to be longer lasting, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think this is one of our epical events that happens in our lives. And if we look at generational theories that, you know, for young generations, this is going to have a tremendous impact on how they live and the things that they consider normal. You know, thinking about the fact that you carry hand sanitizer with you at all times will become the norm. That won't just be something that carried in your mom's purse. You know, everybody will have access to you. It'll be in your car. It'll be, you know, at every place that you interact with. And So yeah, I think that our behaviors will change. I think in some countries like China, where it was common to wear a face mask for Americans, it always seemed that, you know, that was something foreign to them. I think now, you know, it's going to be more accepted. People do it. It's normal. So yeah, I think it's this long-term impact of the way we live that is not going to change.
Now, towards the end of your slide deck, you had something. What information would you need to receive from the travel industry to feel safe? You've got confirmation, signage, communication from the frontline staff. You've got signage in high traffic areas, printed materials, verbal communication. What did you find overall that was it all of the above, or were there some in particular that makes people feel safer?
Well, I think that it overall, people responded to all of those things, that people just want the information. But in general, when they arrive at the front desk, you know, understanding the policies, having signage, having access to what the policy is at that particular venue or property, that the consumer would like to know what that is. And some of that is about staying safe, and some of that is also so that they can keep other people safe, ensuring they know that somebody else is wearing the mask because that's expected.
Lori, you've been doing this for quite some time, from basically the last decade. Did you ever imagine seeing anything like you've seen this year?
Absolutely not. Amazing impacts to our life, the travel industry. It's actually beyond what I would have ever imagined.
All right. Well, Lori, how often do you put out these kind of surveys and these kind of reports, if I may ask?
We do it weekly, and it's posted weekly with the new index, as well as a short insight report.
All right. Well, listen, Lori, I want to thank you for coming on the program and updating our listeners as to the trends in travel and just about what everybody's thinking. Thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thanks so much, Jim. I really appreciate you having me.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.